Welcome back, everyone. Our next talk is by Jos Bochtfried, I hope I pronounced that right, about the future of private clouds, and in particular, a project called Nextcloud. Please.
Hi, everyone. So, quick agenda. I'm first going to talk about, well, what, and then a little bit of history and today, and then, of course, we'll get to the future. I will try not to finish much too late or much too early, and if you have questions at any point, please just wave at me. I'm sure it'll get my attention at some point, and then you can ask the question. I like that a lot more than all the questions at the end. So, just interrupt, it's no problem. If I don't see you, you can yell. Apparently the camera or the microphone won't catch it, so that's good. All right, a few words about myself. I've been around open source since 2000-ish, first in the Dutch Mandrake community, back then Mandrake, and then later Mandriva, and now, well, there are multiple successors to the project. And then I got involved in KD Promo, basically first writing articles for the news site and giving talks at conferences more and more. Later really building, you know, a bit of a marketing team and trying to get a lot of articles written in various websites, you know, giving talks at various events. And I really like doing that, and, you know, I really thought it was making a difference. I still do, actually. I think open source is really important. I even went to the point where I quit my job at Royal Bank of Scotland and got a job at a government organization, because they gave me 48 holidays a year, which is perfect for visiting conferences. So it wasn't a brilliant career move, perhaps, but it turned out actually not to be so bad, because SUSE Linux hired me as community manager for OpenSUSE. So I essentially got to do what I did so much in my free time paid. That was really great. Did that for 4 years. And then my old buddy Frank asked me to join OwnCloud as community manager, which I then did for about 2.5 years, I think. Well, and now Nextcloud, where I do more marketing-y stuff in general and PR. I live in Berlin, and the picture you see here is not Berlin. For those of you who know it, you should have realized that by now. This is where I come from, which is a little island in the southwest of the Netherlands. Well, I come from a proud lineage of farmers. I didn't really follow into that tradition, as you can see. So let's talk a little bit about privacy for a minute. So it's post-Snowden, right? And unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, you should know that basically governments, your own and foreign governments, and companies and criminals, they're all trying to figure out what you're doing, what you're buying, why you're buying it, and what you're doing with it, and lots of other stuff. Of course, so do criminal organizations and apparently terrorists. Now, in no small part due to government policy, we are all quite vulnerable to all these parties. Because the governments want us to be vulnerable to them. They want to be able to spy on us. And, well, I guess it's simply not that important for them that this also means we can be spied on by everybody else. And the problem with that is, of course, that even though our governments say they want to do that to basically catch criminals, government and corrupt government officials themselves, as well as big companies that often do nasty stuff, and criminal organizations and terrorists, they don't have a problem with the surveillance. Because, as is often said, if you don't have anything to hide, what are you worried about? Well, obviously, these organizations and people have something to hide, and thus they do. The fact that perhaps privacy would be, our privacy protecting software, for example, if you would outlaw it, that's not really a problem for people who do illegal stuff anyway. So these limitations on privacy, they are basically only really making life difficult for journalists and grassroots political organizations, charities and small companies. And, well, the thing is, of course, these are all very easy to deal with once you have all their data, because at some point in your life you will do, probably frequently, small things that if there would have been police close by, they could have been difficult about it, if they wanted to, right? Just if they wanted to. And the thing is that if everything you do is recorded somewhere, sometime, someplace, and somebody has access to that, then whenever they want to be difficult to you, they can. And that's a big problem here. It's not necessarily about people doing really bad stuff. It's just that you can catch people who do minor things. I remember that I think it was Al Capone was put behind bars not for the murders and all the other criminal activity, but for tax evasion. This is the thing. If you are a journalist and government doesn't like you, they will not pick you up for being a journalist. They won't lock you up for that. They will lock you up for basically anything else they can find on you. And the more surveillance there is, the more chance there is that they will get something. So this is a problem, I think. So we need to own our data. We need to replace privacy abusing services from Google, Apple, Dropbox, Microsoft, and these other organizations. And this is what Nextcloud is about. I'll get to a bit of history behind that later on. But in general, it aims to replace these services. So you can have one place where you have your communication, where you have your data, where you work on your documents. Even if they're stored somewhere else, you should be able to get at them through Nextcloud. So you have a single convenient place that you can access via a variety of clients and browsers. And because people won't use it if it can't connect with other things, obviously Nextcloud servers can connect to other Nextcloud servers, as well as, for example, Pydio or own cloud systems. Now, of course, if you want to replace these services from Google and Apple and Microsoft, that's quite a challenge, because I don't think we should ask from people to give up a lot to be able to use these services. I've been talking actually about that today with a couple of other people. You know, if you would buy, if you really care about cameras in a phone, maybe you would buy a phone that is not a very good phone. It doesn't do browsing very well. It does bad network connection, all that stuff, but a really good camera. Maybe you would buy it. But I don't think that, generally speaking, it would be a successful product. It has to be a good enough phone and have a good camera. Then you would buy it. And this is the same with these services. Being, you know, open source, being privacy aware, yes, it's a feature. And it's something people care about. But do they care about it enough to throw everything else away, to not care about anything else, about ease of use, about features, just the privacy? I mean, this is not going to be a successful product. Yeah? You need to be good enough with everything. You need to have features. And you need to be easy to use. So this is very important for us. Had to be an easy-to-use product and to have the features that we're trying to replace in an easy way. Because otherwise, it's not going anywhere. I think this is important. Now, obviously, it can run on a Pi, but it can also run on a supercluster for millions of users. In that case, the architecture looks a bit like this. It's a little more complicated. But the principles are very much the same. It's the same software, just more scalable. Now, again, if there are questions, please ask. So a little bit of history. So in 2010, I was at a KDE event in San Diego, Camp KDE, the second KDE event in the US. The first one was in Jamaica. I can tell you San Diego is nice, but it didn't really, you know, match Jamaica. On the other hand, San Diego did have Banana Bungalow, which was a very awesome beach hostel for surfers, which is where we were staying. It was quite an interesting event. I was staying there actually with Frank, sharing the room. That was quite cool. And at that event, he announced a new project that you all know as Own Cloud. You might know it. And the goal was to replace Dropbox, Google Drive, and these others, because it looked like people were putting more and more of their data into the cloud. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this is a privacy issue. And this is the thing Frank wanted to solve, and he started working on that. And you see here the first meetup, which happened in 2010 as well, later in that year. The first five people who started working on it. Actually, I think four of them are still with us today, and the fifth kind of lost interest in the subject some years ago. So, and he and others, it grew, it became bigger. More people started using it, more people started developing on it. And in 2011, Frank, together with some other people, started a company with the goal to accelerate the development of this tool. The idea was, if we get companies who need, of course, roughly the same things, they also need privacy, they also need control over the data. So we build a product for them, and that way we get money, which we use to pay people to write more AGPL open source good code. That's a win-win. And it was. It worked really well. So in 2014, he asked me, I'm sorry, I don't want to mean, of course, that me being hired was a huge milestone. It's just relevant for the story. But in 2014, he asked me to join the company. And I thought about that. I mean, I was working at SUSE at the time, and, well, there was quite some stuff that had happened in the last couple of months. I was actually thinking about, or had been thinking about leaving, and then I actually had decided I should stay. And then, you know, you get a call with another job offer. That's kind of complicated. So I talked to some friends, for example, Georg Grief, who founded the FSFE, and I asked what he thought. And, you know, he said, well, on one hand, they're doing cool stuff. On the other hand, you know, I don't like the CLA, the code licensing agreement. It's not a fair deal. And, you know, venture capital always puts weird pressure on a company. This is going to make you do bad stuff. So I talked to Frank and I said, dude, these are valid concerns. I mean, I have been blogging against the code licensing agreement not too long ago. I mean, making people sign over their code to a company without basically getting anything back, it's not really fair, right? I mean, Monty, I think is his name, from MySQL, I've heard that if you pour enough beer in him, he will call the people who sign it idiots for working for him for free. Now, that's not nice. That's not how it should be. And Frank said, well, I agree. It's a compromise. I mean, in the end, what's happening today is that about a dozen programmers get paid to write AGPL code. Now, yes, due to the structure and the way it works, I don't control this company anymore, if he ever did. And yes, the CLA, it's maybe not as good as it could be, but it's working. And it's a fair deal. We don't do a huge amount of proprietary stuff with only a little open core, but almost everything is open, with only a few proprietary bits. So it's a fair deal. Fair enough. So I joined. We discussed the CLA a bit later as well. I mean, there are always ways to improve it, make it actually a fairer deal, but this was not really possible, basically, at the time. And Frank said, look, you know, if things don't work out, let's say something horrible happens, Oracle comes and buys the company and says, okay, from now on it's over with all this community crap, we'll just go proprietary closed source. The license allows it, they can do that. Yeah? But at that point, a lot of good code has been written, and you know, Frank said, I'll just quit and I'll fork. We'll make a copy of the project, we continue, and you know, move forward again. Well, fair enough. I mean, the AGPL was basically an insurance against something bad happening. Yeah. So then came May 2016, and Frank quit OwnCloud. And, well, a month later, started a new company together with me and about a dozen other developers who were there, in many cases, from the beginning or started working on it as volunteers. Because basically Frank decided that OwnCloud was no longer the best way to fulfill his vision of building, you know, the software that's supposed to replace Google. Now, we've talked a lot about the details about that, which I won't rehash here, but this is what was decided. So the new company doesn't come out of the blue. Nextcloud is basically a spin-off of Structure AG. Structure AG is a company that has been developing financial software and communication software since about 1995. So they have a long history. And their managing director is Niels Mache, who is the founder of Red Hat Germany, and later sold it to Red Hat. And they have started about 3 years ago a project to basically free people's communication. Because everybody's using technologies like Skype, and these days you can do calls with WhatsApp and lots of other technologies. But of course, this all, especially these days, is routed via Microsoft servers and other places. You can argue whether that's very privacy aware. Now, I can tell you, Niels cares very deeply about privacy to a point where we are absolutely forbidden to use things like Skype. I personally think that, you know, Microsoft is not probably spending too much time listening into my conversations, but fair enough. And this project, of course, was fully open source, because if you want to really protect people's privacy, I mean, sure, WhatsApp says they use end-to-end encryption. But can you check that? Can you see if before it's end-to-end encrypted, it's not first sent to a server somewhere? You can't really, because it's not open source. So you can't truly provide a private, secure service if it's closed source, at least in my opinion. So this was open source. It's WebRTC based, which makes it peer-to-peer. And it's fully end-to-end encrypted with, well, encryption keys that are long, very long. I'll show some screenshots later on. So about a year ago, they started a project, a Kickstarter, to create a box, the Spreed box. This is a 10 by 10 by 10 centimeters aluminum cube, which in it has a custom ARM board with a customly designed encryption chip. I probably don't get the details right here, but this is designed to facilitate secure communication. So the idea is you just put the box in your small or medium company or at home, connected to the network, and then via the box, you can have your communication with other people. About, I think it can handle about 10 or 20 conference calls with each 10 participants at the same time. So for a small company, it is actually quite sufficient to use it. And when you are talking with people, you often also want to work together with them. And then it's nice to be able to exchange files. So they put OwnCloud on the box. And I wrote a blog about this actually last December. So this Kickstarter succeeded, and they started to create the box, and they have been sold out ever since. So sorry if you want one, it might take a while. But this was doing really well. And, well, this is what we basically partnered with. And the Spreed box business, so to say, the part where we develop SpreedMe, the software, is part of Nextcloud. So we are responsible for developing the software for these boxes that are sold both directly via partners all over the world to companies and individuals who, well, care about keeping their data and communication secure. Now, we had to fork OwnCloud due to the CLA. We didn't want to work for free for them, so we forked. And, well, Frank sadly made the mistake back in the day of not putting the name that he came up with in a foundation. So it was not independent of the company. It was not owned by the community, but by the company. So no matter how many people, you know, would like it different, we had to come up with a new name. We won't make that mistake again, by the way. This time we will set up a foundation that will own the name. So, well, June 2nd we announced the new company, and we planned to do a first release in, well, sometime July. We didn't get to do that because there was such a huge response from users and customers and also contributors that basically everybody started coding like crazy, and in 12 days later we released Nextcloud 9 with already a bunch of nice features on top of OwnCloud 9 it was built on. And then we moved on. Next week we will release Nextcloud 10 with a lot more features. I will talk about that and show you some. And we have a very ambitious roadmap for Nextcloud 11 for the end of this year, more or less. And, well, this is a graph of how our development is going. You see that it's pretty much stable. I think the fork is somewhere here. It doesn't really show on the graph. Are there any questions? Please shoot. easy, difficult, critical, or it's all good, really. Yes. Yes. We will come with an update that replaces it with Nextcloud, of course. Yes. So the question was, I own a Spreadbox. How easy is it to replace it with Nextcloud? Well, you don't have to. We do that for you. Any more questions? Yes. Because the dot ones and twos just make no sense, and we decided to just skip that and just go whole release. I mean, there's no difference between 9.0, this was the same in the OwnCloud time, there's no difference between OwnCloud 9.0 and 9.1 in terms of how big it is, in terms of how much bug fixes it has. They're just all equal. And, well, we decided to just go for whole numbers. It's a pretty arbitrary decision, honestly. It's not better or worse. It's actually a little complicated right now with upgrading. But different story, details. Any more? All right, then, today. So we're now about 20 people. That's, of course, at the company. Two of them don't have their picture taken yet. And we have a lot of people in the community who are helping us. This, well, is not the whole group, but a lot of them, including ourselves. And, well, we're working, of course, on Nextcloud 10. We did a release candidate, I think, last Thursday. So the release should be done and come out next week. And in terms of features, on the left, I have to look what that looks like for you guys. Yes, left. There are the features that are part of Upstream, so OwnCloud 9.1. On the right, the features that we added in the week since. So it introduces two-factor authentication. I will show you in a screenshot in a couple of minutes, and we added brute force protection to that to basically improve the security. There's a bunch of improvements to federation. So one of those is that when you share a federated share from one server to the next, so the idea of federation is you can connect servers. Huh? You're have a Nextcloud server, I have a Nextcloud server. You share a file with me by simply typing my name at my Nextcloud address. And this is called a federated cloud ID. It's like an email address. And I will just get a notification on my Nextcloud server, and I can see the files that you shared with me. This is really important to, of course, make basically a bunch of people who run Nextcloud be able to collaborate with each other as easily as they would if they were all on Dropbox. It's pretty much the same experience. And once a server has once connected with another server, they even exchange address books so that you can autocomplete the names of the users on that server. This is federation, a pretty cool feature. Yes? Well, it's peer-to-peer because it's server-to-server because the two servers are where the files are. Well, as user, you connect to your server, right, via the web interface. And then the servers talk directly to each other to get the files. So, and the thing was, if you would have a federated share from, let's say, from you, and I would then share it to you, then whenever you would access that file, it would first, your server would talk to mine, get the file, ask for the file, my server would ask for the file from you, get a file and get it to you. That's, of course, not very efficient. So one of the changes is now that in Nextcloud 10, you'll just talk to each other, the servers. Another nice improvement there is that if you remove the shared link, it used to be that federation was connected to shared links. So if you create a shared link of a file and a federated share, and you would then remove the shared link, the federated share would also disappear. That shouldn't be the case, of course, so that now works properly. So there are some of these small, you know, improvements, a little faster, a little more reliable, a little more normal. Another feature I want to talk about is permanent file links. This is an improvement in the Files app, and I will get to that basically when we go to some screenshots. And last but not least, because of the two-factor authentication, we now have app passwords, because if an application doesn't support two-factor authentication, but you have it enabled, then you can create an app-specific password. On the Nextcloud 10 unique sites, we have features like SAML authentication, Samba change notifications, which basically makes Windows Network Drive a lot more performant and scalable. And there's a new monitoring app. I will show you some screenshots. We had a couple of customers ask for that. File access control, which can limit basically, according to certain rules, who has access to files. I will show that one too. Same with auto-tagging. And we have some improvements to the admin page. I mean, there are lots of smaller changes all over, but these are, I think, the big ones. Any more questions? Yes.
One of the reasons I use Dropbox sometimes, I'm ashamed, I don't, is that it allows you to direct share image links, which I can share to other people, and they would open up the image directly, not the own cloud image, for example. That's why I didn't like own cloud for that specifically.
Do you, so you like Imgur, you would directly get a link to the image, yeah. I'm not aware of any plans. However, it sounds like a feature that could be added, of course. The gallery app maintainer works for us, and he's still working on the gallery app, of course. So, and now paid to do that. That will help, of course, with things like this. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so the improvements of Federation, yes, they are... you can, it's basically on the server itself that it handles it a little more clever. I mean, some of the features might require support on both, but then it will still work. So Frank, you guys know Pydio? It's another file sync and share open source service. And Frank worked with them to get the federated cloud sharing protocol implemented in Pydio as well. So it works with them, and it has to stay backward compatible, of course, with that specification. And we basically gave the specification of what we had developed to a collaboration of universities and other organizations who care about these things called Open Cloud Mesh. And there it is developed and maintained. So it's a specification that is maintained now by another third party. So we've just handled the specification better, more clever way. And obviously, for Nextcloud 11, we have quite a few plans on improving on Federation, especially, which we will then, you know, do together with the Open Cloud Mesh team. So this is two-factor authentication. It's pretty familiar, I think, if you have Google Authenticator, for example, then you can use that. So the way it is done, it's plugin-based. It was written by Christoph and Lucas. And Christoph has a bunch of these potential plugins you can use in his GitHub repo. This isn't yet built in. So if you have installed Nextcloud 10, or when you do install it, you have to then get one of these plugins to get, for example, Google Authenticator support. And if you have, say, Card Reader, which you would like to support, you will have to write one of these plugins for that to be able to support it. Now, this is a session management that you get once you have a bunch of people logged in. We now show your accounts that are logged in, like if you have your mobile client, your Android client, maybe a laptop and a desktop, for example. You can see these, that they're active, and of course check if one of them suddenly is in China, then maybe, you know, somebody got access to your system in a way that might not be what you want. Not saying China's evil, could be the US too. And there's app passwords. Again, this is what you need for applications that don't support the two-factor authentication. If you can't do that, then you need to generate an app-specific password, which is very long, and will then secure the connection with that specific application. In Nextcloud 11, we will introduce also app permissions here. So if you have created an app-specific password, for example, for your calendar application, that it will not be able to access your files, because a calendar application shouldn't be accessing your files, and if it does, it might actually be hacked by someone. And if you have a file access application, it can't get at your contact data, because again, it shouldn't. That's coming in Nextcloud 11, end of this year. Files app, there's a couple of improvements here that I think are actually quite nice. One of them is that when you try to drag and drop files, it will move the viewport so that you can actually also drag and drop on a big folder list. It really annoyed the hell out of me personally. So I'm quite happy with that improvement. And for Nextcloud 11, we actually plan on building in some files move or files cut paste functionality in so that you can more easily move files between folders. It's also an often requested feature. Now the nice thing is that it remembers the sort settings per user, so you don't have to click sort every time you go there. And let me see if the mouse here works. Yes. So there's this little link icon, and this gives you a permanent link. This is actually really nice if you have files shared with a bunch of people that you work with regularly. Now, the thing is, the way Nextcloud does sharing is rather than just stupidly putting every share in a special shared folder, it allows you to put the shared files that you receive from other people wherever you like. So when, for example, a colleague has a file that he has in, you know, work slash project 16 slash, you know, important files, and he shares them with you, then first of all, they come in your home directory or in any place where you had that you have configured where shares should go initially. And then you can put it in your documents slash customer 16 slash important files folder. But then if the colleague says, hey, I just put a file in that folder and it's named X, and you know, here's the in the browser, like the link to go there immediately, well, that's not going to work because he has a different URL in the browser than you do. Even though you're on the same server, the file is in a different place. Now, with this link, you can actually give a direct and working link because this link has a unique file ID, and then you can always immediately open the file. So it's not meant for the initial sharing. You still just share a file first. But once you've shared, in my experience, I've often ended up using another shared link to get people to actually a direct link to the file, because otherwise I need to tell them, yeah, it's in the folder marketing, slash, slash graphics, slash documents, slash website, slash somewhere. It's just like, come on, you're using a file sharing software. Why is it so complicated to actually share and talk about it? So this is very nice, I think. Nice improvement. And last but not least, we have actually fixed the preview of text files so you can see them. So this is a feature that was asked for by some big users, including universities. If you have a very large number of users on your system, it's nice to know what the load is that's generated by the system. So you can see, hey, there seems to be something going wrong. I need to check. I need to do something about it. Or maybe, you know, I have too many users on this system. I need to add more hardware or put users on another system. So we created a monitoring app that shows you things like users logged in and the number of shares and some PHP and database and storage information. But it can also connect to an external monitoring tool. So if you use something like Nagios, for example, to monitor your network, you can just point to this and you get a nice set of information that allows you to keep an eye on this and create graphs over the days and weeks and see like, okay, you know, everybody starts to download stuff on Friday morning and or is not active in the weekend. That's probably not a surprise. This is in 10, so this is available next week. I know, awesome, right? Now, this is also in 10. This is file access control. So the idea is that you create a set of rules, and whenever a file fits these rules, access to it is blocked. Let's say you're a company, and you have employees who are in the group personnel management, or the personnel team, how do you say that, HR team. People in HR, they handle the private data of your employees. So whenever they upload a spreadsheet with, like, for example, financial information, this shouldn't be shared to your US office in any way. That should never be accessible from there. So you add a rule that says, okay, if you're from accessing from the US, you know, and the file is in that group, then, you know, you don't get access. You're not from the group. You can also add tags. So you can say, okay, if a file is an image and it's uploaded by a certain group or it's uploaded by a certain device like an iPhone or if it's uploaded from a certain, you know, geographic location, et cetera, then you give a certain tag to it. And then you can filter on those tags and say, okay, you know, These files are not allowed to be accessed from this set of rules again. So you can create very specific, you know, set of rules that make sure that, you know, certain things are not possible. And that includes file retention. So you can basically configure that when somebody uploads an image that is bigger than 10 megabytes between in the group testers, yeah, then these files are deleted in 10 days. Because, you know, people in the test group, they always upload these big files, but you don't really need them permanently. So you automatically remove them. So this is the automated tagging and file access control and retention features. Last but not least, we included a little app called Usage Report. This is disabled by default. But if you want to help us improve Nextcloud for all of you, please enable it. This will give us some usage information about your server. You can preview it before it's sent. And then this helps us to determine, for example, how many people use certain features. And that way we can make sure that we develop the way people, you know, want it to be developed. That was 10. Any questions? Yes. So you're saying OwnCloud was more bugs than codes in the past? Yeah. I started using OwnCloud when I was OwnCloud 6, and I have encountered some serious issues as well. I mean, obviously nothing is perfect, but as of today, it is working for about 10 million users at universities, research institutions, financial companies, etc. I'm fairly certain that even though nothing is perfect, this isn't any worse than basically any other major enterprise software. I think in many ways it's better, honestly. But this is also why you buy a support contract, right? We fix your stuff. Again, I don't want to say there were no bugs. There are bugs everywhere, but yeah. Yes? I know, and it is not. So the question was if Nextcloud is in the Debian repository. It is not at the moment. This was quite a thing for OwnCloud, which I don't want to repeat or talk about, but we've decided to work with the distributions and work with them to develop packages. So we've already done this with Fedora CentOS, and we're working with Ubuntu to create a snap together. And we would definitely want to work with Debian. I know one of their sore points is the ability to skip releases on upgrade. Because if you have Debian stable and then Debian stable -1 and you need to upgrade to the newest, and you know there are 8 releases between the 2 OwnCloud or Nextcloud releases in there, and you have to upgrade to each of them in between to be able to get to the new one, because you have to. This is the way, you know, you can't skip releases on OwnCloud at the moment. This doesn't work, obviously. And so, yes, this is awful. So he mentioned that on CentOS, this is a pain, and if you miss something, everything breaks, etc. Yes. So this is on the schedule for Nextcloud 11. We want to be able to upgrade anything from anywhere. So being able to upgrade and skipping releases should not be a problem. We're going to fix that. Yes, I know it is great. It's quite awesome. But it's also a lot of work, and we would appreciate both help and testing. Because this is really hard to do. And this is why we had a little bit of a kerfuffle with Debian. Because they were basically building this themselves, the ability to skip releases, going from, I think, OwnCloud 7 to 9 or 10 or even newer in one go. And to put it mildly, we felt very uncomfortable about it. because we wouldn't trust ourselves being able to do that. So we didn't think they could. And that, well, we said that, and then they got very upset. We might have been nicer, I know. But, you know, this created some back and forth, and then Debian dropped OwnCloud. So I hope that with this feature in Nextcloud 11, the ability to skip releases, will be suitable again for a distribution like Debian Stable. Because in Debian Unstable, it's not a problem. Or in testing, right? Because at some point, you will get to that new release. Unless, of course, you get something that you mentioned, which is that accidentally you skipped the release and then... I mean, that is really nasty. Again, that should be solved with this as well. At the same time, of course, upgrade process is nasty and difficult. So again, this really can use testing. So, you know, in the end, the only way to make sure something works for you is if you test it. Any more questions? Yes. Any plans about the desktop client? Yes, we're working on that. We will soon release a branded version. Any more questions? Or do you all want to hear everything about Nextcloud 11? Yeah, okay, cool. One more. Yes. Upgrading from OwnCloud to Nextcloud, no, it's nothing special. It's the same right now. And we're actually working with OwnCloud to make it possible to, well, downgrade or however, side grade you want to call it, to go back. But that's not there yet. But I think that should be doable. Okay. Yes, one more. The mobile client. Well, we have an Android client already and an iOS client. What other clients? About the cost. So the Android client is fully free because, let me be honest, this is completely developed by volunteers from the community. We have a little bit of help. They're doing a really awesome job. Basically, development speed has increased significantly, in my opinion. It's really an awesome client. You can use it with OwnCloud too. It's really nice, so I suggest you try it. The iOS client is developed by a partner from us. They developed an app called CryptoCloud, which worked with a number of other clouds, including OwnCloud, and they made a special Nextcloud version, and that client does cost money. But then again, if you're using iOS, I kind of keep thinking it's your own fault. I always find it difficult to feel sorry for that. They don't even allow any GPL-like apps in the App Store at that point. Yeah. But maybe I'm anti-elitist now. Okay. So, first week of this month, we did a meetup in Stuttgart. We had about 30 community members and people from the company, of course, get together. This is a picture from our barbecue. Not everybody could make it, but it was a very nice barbecue. You don't see any of the meat, I know, just the people. And the dog is missing. We have a picture where the dog was... sitting in a very shameful situation just in front of the camera, kind of photobombing us all. But the photo hasn't been released, so I can't use it. I'll have to use the proper picture. Anyway, it was a really great meeting, and in that we discussed strategy and the future of Nextcloud and where we wanted to go. And one of the things that was done there was, of course, to make a plan in terms of features for the upcoming release. And I would be happy to share. So one of the big features, I already did a blog about this, is new App Store. The old App Store was getting quite long in the tooth and was missing a lot of features that we wanted to add for a very, very, very long time. And some community members have been working on a replacement for quite a while. And we were now at a point where we said, okay, this is good enough. We will not put it in Nextcloud 10 because, you know, adding a feature so big and last minute, it's not a good way of getting stable software to users. But we will immediately make it available for Nextcloud 11, so that from day one, basically, we get to test it. So until December, it will have had quite some nice testing. So it's. I'll show you a picture in a minute, but it's a big improvement. It allows a lot of features also, especially for the developers. For example, automatically, you know, you upload your tarball of the app, and then it will check if the app will actually work. It checks a lot of, you know, things, if you have the right versions, if you have everything configured well. So this also makes sure that people are less likely to download something that will not work on their version. It even allows to check what Nextcloud version you're running and then sending you an older version of the app if the new version is not compatible with your Nextcloud version, for example. This is the kind of features that's quite nice and makes the App Store a lot more usable. Now, I already said federation. We definitely want to improve federation, bring it to a new level. Now, old federation was you can share between two servers, but you need somebody to know somebody's federated cloud ID. And then we shared address books, which you can enable or disable as an admin, of course. But if you know somebody by name and maybe even, you know, his Twitter account or her Google Plus account or something, but you don't know their federated cloud ID, you still can't share with them unless you first ask. Now, we're working on a solution for that, basically a central lookup server that will, again, optionally, of course, privacy first, allow people to search for other users, irrespective of the Nextcloud server they're on, if the server is connected to this lookup server. And then you can say, okay, you know, this person, hey, I recognize that Twitter handle. You verify yourself with the lookup server using a service like Twitter, for example, so that the server knows that that person really is who he or she say, claims to be. And then that way you can then share the file with that person. And, you know, now reasonably sure that it is who he or she claims to be. And there are a bunch of smaller improvements, but I think this is really a cool improvement for a lot of home users. There's some security work that we're working on, like as I already mentioned, like the permissions for apps to make sure that, you know, they can't just do random stuff. And communication integration. So earlier I talked about Spreadbox. Well, obviously this is an important subject for us. We need to integrate SpreadMe, you know, web conferencing, super secure, end-to-end encrypted, very deeply in Nextcloud. And with deeply integrated, I mean, if you, for example, are working on a file and somebody commented on the file and you think it's really outrageous what they just said, you should be able to click on, you know, the little avatar and call them right away from within Nextcloud. This is the kind of stuff that we want to make possible in the, and we'll have to see how far we get with 11 because this is a very big task. But as you, I'll show some screenshots of that. And then last but not least, the updater. As was talked about already, we want to be able to skip releases because this will make it a lot easier for both big customers. A lot of our customers, they use Nextcloud for a long time. They want to be able to install it and then just use it for 5 years without having to upgrade every 6 or 9 or 12 months. And obviously this is something we want to bring to them as well. They care about this a lot, the ability to just skip releases and just go to the newest release after 5 years. So this is an important enterprise feature, but again, also for distributions. This is the App Store. It looks a lot more modern, I would say. You can log in via your GitHub account, so that makes it also easy. You don't need to create another account at another website. If you're just working on GitHub, then this is simple. Just a few test apps in there. Again, for an end user, if you use the app installation interface from within Nextcloud, the only thing you will really notice is that it's more reliable and it will work even if you're a version behind, which is currently, you know, often problematic. That can deliver the wrong app. This is SpreadMe integrated. I wrote a big manual on how to integrate SpreadMe into your Nextcloud. So if you have it running already, you can go to nextcloud.com/webRTC and then you can learn all about how to integrate it. It's complicated. And obviously we're working hard to make it a lot simpler to do that. This is one of the things we want to change. And the other thing we want to work on, obviously, is to integrate it deeper from a user experience perspective. No, because that would be rewriting SpreadMe in PHP. And for real-time communication, PHP is not very suitable. So the question was if you're going to integrate it without SpreadMe. That's not the plan. It's parts of it possible, but it will never really be very, a very good solution. But we can make it a lot easier to install SpreadMe. It's the same as with Collabora. Before, we worked with Collabora to create a very easy-to-use Docker image. The only way to install Collabora also download the source code, compile it, install it, configure it, and then it would work. And so when we partnered with them, for us it's very important, of course, to make these things accessible to the community. It's nice that we get packages for customers, but we also wanted to have a solution for home users, for all of you. So we worked with them, and we actually built a Docker image, and then they continued working on that and made that available for everyone, including a nice manual, so you can actually easily install Collabora online on your Nextcloud server now and edit documents real time. It's the same with Spreed. Right now, you need to compile it. If you look at my manual, it's compile it yourself, my friend. So this is obviously one of the first things you want to fix, and there's already a Docker container. The manual points to it, but I haven't really updated it and redone it yet to really make it obvious how to use that, but I will soon. So we want to make it as easy as possible. But sadly, it will never be a matter of just going into the App Store and clicking on the name of the app and done. That's just, it's technically not possible, sadly, for both of these. So that was a little bit about the future of Nextcloud and in general, you know, Google replacing services. And if you want to help and make a difference too, very soon, in under 4 weeks, we have a conference in Berlin where we will discuss these and many other things, where you can, of course, help code and make it better, up to perfect, and make sure that it works for you the next time you try to use it. Any more questions? Because this was it. Yes. Is there collaboration with OwnCloud, the company? A tiny little bit, but not too much, sadly. Well, one of the things, on the technical level, there is some collaboration. We need to figure out some things there because we like to, you know, be open. I mean, again, it's all community, the business side. I mean, I really like how, for example, SUSE and Red Hat work together. Their sales obviously competes because, well, that's their job. But on a development level, you will see, you know, even SUSE developers give presentations at Fedora events. And I think that's really awesome. And it will be nice to get to that point at some point, but, well, we'll have to see. And we also want to try to keep some compatibility, but that, of course, requires risk development pace on both sides. We'll have to see. Yes? That's a question for sales, and obviously we've said from day one we have gotten a huge amount of response from customers all over, and some of those use OwnCloud, of course. But yeah, that's not something I think we should discuss here. Yes? WebRTC. So the question is, if SpreadMe uses an existing standard of communication, and the answer is yes, WebRTC. So WebRTC doesn't Yes. I have absolutely no idea. The question is, how does it communicate with the server? I don't know. My knowledge goes as far as how to install it, and that it's a Go app. And, well, that it works from that point on. Sorry, I'll look into that. I need to get a bit of a briefing on how the technology side of that works. Yes, still, so that'll come. Yes? So the question is, OwnCloud dropped support for Windows. Is Nextcloud going to return? This was and is all about PHP support on Windows, which is, to put it very mildly, substandard. At least for the things we needed to do, which has to do with, of course, file system and stuff like that. And it's just entirely unsupported to do the things that we needed to do. And that was a huge amount of work. Basically, we have had to develop and maintain a completely separate file interaction layer, which is just suicidal and super slow, to the point where running Nextcloud or OwnCloud on Windows in a virtual machine on Linux, so like having a virtual machine with Linux running on Windows, would be a lot faster than using it natively. So at that point, people should just run it in a VM. No, I wrote a blog post about it. I mentioned why it was dropped. Dude. Ah, okay, okay. All right, reminder, put a link to blog post about dropped features and release notes. Thank you. No, that's a good point, it's a good point. It's an oversight, I apologize. No. All right, any more questions? Yes. Yeah, so deeper integration of address book and calendar. Yes, abso-freaking-lutely. I didn't have it in my neat little list, but it's high on the agenda, yes. So we want to integrate, basically, whenever you see an avatar, that should be connected to the address book, which in turn should be connected to SpreadMe. So this is in between there. So you click on the avatar, you know, you see email address, you can immediately send an email, send a text message, call, etc. Basically make it really one integrated whole. And it goes for calendar too, like if there's a notification from your calendar that should show up, you should be able to add files to your notification or to your calendar items, things like that. And a lot of this work is planned for 11, but also after 11, of course. I mean, it's, yeah, these things should work as seamless as possible, of course. Any more questions? Plans for federation of calendars? That's a good question. I'm not aware of any. Well, actually, there probably are plans for that. The question just is when, because it's not on the roadmap that I have seen. So I don't know what the timeline on that is. But this is indeed something that would be very nice to have. But there's a whole bunch of calendar and contact features that you know we want to work on. And this is something in the coming months we will keep hiring people and putting people to work on those things. I mean, this meeting, just to get an idea of how this works, what we did, there were, you know, 20-odd people in the room, both employees and volunteers, because, again, the way we work doesn't matter. We would basically brainstorm on features and then just say who wants to work on what. And then both volunteers and employees said, okay, this is something, you know, I want to work on. And obviously, the brainstorm of features would come based on requests from customers, requests from users, and things developers think need to be done. And the way we plan the time of the employees is in such a way that they get a significant amount of time unplanned. Obviously, again, if there are important customer needs, our employees get a portion of their time dedicated to work on that, and all our engineers have to do or have to help with support. So our support for customers is basically you get direct contact with engineers rather than having a layer in between. But we keep time open so that they can work on things that they consider important, technical debt, for example, or work with community members on features that community members want to implement but need help with, things like that. So this, you know, makes it a more collaborative way of working. Yes. I actually want to make some graphs of that at some point in the future, because this is a good question. So the question was how much of the code is done by paid people and how much by volunteers. The thing is, I have some graphs for some of that, but I don't have a full overview, because the problem, I mean, you know how it is with statistics, it's always a pain in the ass to get something that's actually representative of reality. And never trust statistics you didn't doctor yourself, as they say. If you look at Nextcloud Core, which is, well, literally the core, or Nextcloud Server, I think it's called officially, I think the majority is done by paid people. But it relies a lot on apps that are outside of the server. The calendar and contacts and the mail app, they are even still maintained and worked on in the own cloud GitHub repository, and we contribute to that and work on that and keep working on that. because those are not covered under the CLA, so there isn't really a problem with that, as long as nobody gets blocked from working on things or there are other shenanigans. This probably might not change. So you need to take that into account if you want to see, of course, what the balance is between community and company. And, well, that's hard because these repositories are all over. So I need to spend some more time on doing that. But for core, I think it's, I don't know, maybe 2/3 is company, 1/3 community or something. I don't know. I need to look at that. Any more questions? Yes.
There was this discussion regarding the forum, which domain you are going to choose. Are you going to stick with that, or are you going to change that?
We might make a redirect, but in the end, it works. Everybody knows it now. Let's not break it. No. Any more questions? Yes. Yes. So the question is, if you look at Google and of course also Apple and Dropbox and these companies, they have a huge number of engineers working on security for you, which keeps your data quite safe. Yes, maybe they themselves have access to it, as well as the government and whoever else is paying enough. But at least it's reasonably safe from your neighbor. That's true. Now, first of all, Nextcloud is pretty damn secure. We have, in the open source world, pretty much the highest security bug bounty program. You can earn up to 5,000 euros if you find a bug, a security issue in Nextcloud and disclose it to us. But that is, of course, still nothing compared to the hundreds of thousands you get for finding security bugs in Google. And a lot of people have gotten pretty rich on doing that. So this is a good point. The thing is, with Google, you already know where the data is. And if you pay enough, you can quite easily get on the open market probably a way in to such an account. And because it's a huge target. While with Nextcloud, if you really want to keep it secure, you run it on your own server, and you configure it so that it only accepts, you know, a certain number of IP addresses and things like that, you can actually make it very, very secure. And there is, you know, that does create quite a barrier, I think, for other people like your neighbor, so to say, to come in and hack it. So it depends a bit, I think, also on the skills of yourself or the people that you pay to run your Nextcloud server with regards to security. If they are good, I think you can get to a point where it is as secure, if not more secure, because you can limit certain things that Google needs to keep open. I know it's not a great answer, I guess, but it's the best I can do. It's complicated. This is the end. So we'll have to keep it at this. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it.